This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, June 30th, 2024. Sink or swim, climb high, dive deep.
Well, good morning, Connection Church. Really? That's all we can do? After that high dive? Good morning, Connection Church. Oh, thank you. There at home, here in the sanctuary. Yeah. It's a good day, isn't it? A good day to be part of God's creation. Amen. Amen. Today is the third and final week for our series, Sink or Swim. 2 weeks ago, we talked about games. We talked about Marco. Oh. Very good. And how often we sometimes swim the other way when God calls, or we go down deep so we can't hear. And then last week, we talked about floaties, you know, those things that keep us afloat. In the church, it's worship, it's devotion, it's small groups, it's serving. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to hold us up. Our ultimate floaty is Jesus Christ. Amen. And this morning we're going to be looking at climbing high, diving deep.
Well, good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are so blessed that you're here today. I love Sunday mornings where we can come together and encourage one another and lift our voices up and just know that we're in this together, right? Connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers. Miss Amy is such a trooper. Oh my goodness, to be slime like that. And you know, she put that challenge out about raising the 500, and I'm like, I don't know if that's gonna happen. Well, it sure did, and what a great thing. Yeah, I'm aware that there was a kid or two who felt upset by that, that they did not want Miss Amy to be slimed because she didn't do anything wrong. And they just loved Miss Amy. And so I know that one young man kind of sat in his car and stayed away, and another, my grandson, refused to give his pennies because he didn't want him to raise that amount of money because... But that's just a testimony to how much Amy is beloved, and she's, and the entire staff. I mean, y'all rocked it. You were volunteering here every single night. I'd come in and greet and then go hide in my office, but everybody else was right on point, and it was amazing. So I appreciate the greetings that the kids gave me for my birthday. It's another year, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful, but I hear somebody else's birthday is today. Is that Miss Sarah? Stand up, Miss Sarah. This is one of our food ministry volunteers here all the time, and she is such a servant, and happy birthday to you today, right? Is there anybody else's birthday? I don't want to miss anybody. What? Juneteenth. Yours was Juneteenth? Well, that's wow. A celebration. Happy Juneteenth birthday to you.
What a great day to have birthday on.
Yes. June is a birthday month for a lot of people. It's a lot of people. Well, let me pray and we'll get started. Lord, thank you so much for today. It's a great day. We got to experience the preciousness of our kids singing, and they were so engaged this past week. Engage us. In fact, you do, but help us engage with you, Lord. Open our hearts so that we might dive in and dive deep and know who you are and whose we are. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody agreed and said, amen. Amen.
So has anybody here ever been on a high dive? Not too many. And I don't mean like we have
Wait
on the
a minute.
Video.
Devin, when were you on a high dive? It probably wasn't. Oh, higher than that. She's my daughter, so I'm like, when were you on a high dive?
I mean, like one of those like 3 meter boards, which translates to like 10 feet. 10 feet doesn't seem like much, does it? But when I went on, I went in that Brookside pool I talked about a couple weeks ago. When I went on, I was like 9 or 10 years old. Now, 10 doesn't seem like much. But 10 feet seems like a lot when you're 10 years old. It seemed like that that 193-foot jump that we had on the screen just a few minutes ago.
So that's what the high dive felt like for you, because you were probably little on there.
Whatever, yeah, there we go. And I managed to even dive off of that diving board, you know, because one thing to dive, saw that guy, he just did the pencil, right? You go to dive off, any little miscalculation, even a pencil, any miscalculation hurts, doesn't it? You know, those boards are scary when you're 10, anyway. When you're 10, a 10-foot dive seems like 200 feet. Scary, but also exciting. They're also exciting.
So I never did that diving board. I was there, but I was too young and too scared. Scary and exciting, two sides of the same coin. Like a roller coaster. Who likes roller coasters? How about the ones that go up and do that kind of thing? I mean, it's, no, you're saying no, Barb.
We don't have many risk takers here this morning,
yeah.
Do we?
But it's scary, but your heart's kind of pounding. My heart was pounding on that video that Barry created. We had this heart pounding kind of thing when we were in London a couple weeks ago. We went to a place called Tower Bridge. I always thought it was called London Bridge. Tower Bridge, there's a picture of it over there on the left. And then you could go up in it somewhere and walk across this plexiglass. And so that's my foot and Alan's foot. And down below, like really far, are the buses, and then the Thames River is below that. And has anybody been in the arch at St. Louis? Yeah, like walking across there, that's a little like scary and exciting at the same time. That's kind of like what we're talking about right now.
In the book of Matthew, we find a story of Jesus. Now, he's not on a high dive, and he's not in the tower bridge, and he's not any of those things, but it's a story about going high on a mountain. He's with James and John and Peter. Here's what we read. There he, Jesus, was transfigured. Transfigured. That means change. It was a change that came about him. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. Imagine that. It was like glowing. It was bright and shining. And his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while they were still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they all fell face down on the ground. They were terrified. Terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. Say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus says that a lot, doesn't he? Don't be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead.
So up on this mountain, Jesus was transfigured. That meant that he was changed. He was transformed. His face, you know, was glowing. His clothes white. I mean, I'm sure it was almost blinding because it was the glory of the Lord upon him. And so Peter, we love Peter. We talked about him, you know, getting out and trying to walk on. He did walk on water till he took his eyes off and fell under. But Peter was there, and the moment was so big and so exciting that he said, I want to stay. I'm paraphrasing, but I want to stay here. I'm going to build a house so we can live here. You know, one for you, Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah, because that represented, you know, Jesus the Savior. Moses represented the law, like the Ten Commandments. And Elijah represented the prophets. And so they were going to be there and stay because it was so fantastic. And then the voice from the distance, from the cloud, said, this is my son. Listen to him. The voice of God. Listen to my son. Well, the disciples were terrified. You know, we saw that when the shepherds were in the field and, you know, the angels came and they were terrified when Jesus' birth was being announced, we see this terrified word a lot. Well, the disciples were terrified. They fell down. And then Jesus touched them. When Jesus touches us, whoa, they got up. And then it was just them and Jesus. They came down from the mountain.
Can you imagine what it must have been like to be on that mountain that day with those guys? It must have been just absolutely incredible, exciting, astonishing, intriguing, breathtaking, terrifying. That's what it said. They were terrified at one point. Like a high dive, like the roller coaster, like Tower Bridge. Exciting and a bit scary, even terrifying at times. Two sides of a coin. Here's the thing about those high places. They are places we tend to stop in. We tend to visit. We check them out. We don't stay there. Like the mountain, remember Moses back in the book of Exodus? Moses went up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments from the Lord. He went up there, and it was kind of terrifying. I mean, he was in the presence of God. He didn't stay up on the mountain, though, did he? He got the commandments.
He had a purpose. He had to bring them
all to
the
people. He had a purpose, and he had to bring them back down. Why? Because that's where the people were. They weren't up on the mountain. They were down there. You know, I bet that was kind of thrilling, being up on the mountain, but also probably kind of scary, at least anxious, maybe apprehensive. Moses didn't stay there. Neither did Jesus and the disciples. Neither did Carrie and I when we were in London. Neither did I when I was 10 years old up on that high dive. Those high places, those mountaintop experiences are exciting, terrifying, but they're momentary. They aren't where we stay. They aren't where we live. God uses them to teach us, to fill us, to move us, to bring us to new understandings, but he doesn't leave us there. He brings us back down with the people.
We do read in Scripture where Jesus goes to the mountaintop to pray, to spend time with his Father, but he didn't stay there. He came back to be among the people. We are told to pray continuously, but that doesn't mean hold ourselves up in a room. It means to have an attitude of prayer in everything that we do, in our heart, in our head, but to go out and do ministry in the world, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. This is where life happens. This is where we are called to support and care and witness to one another. And so, yeah, we love those mountaintop experiences. I love to be in worship. I love to sing. Can it last for a long time? But that's not where we stay. That's where we get the fuel to do the work that God calls us to do. Life happens, and we're here to support and care for one another in this place that God has given us.
And so we climb high, but we dive deep, don't we? Climb high, dive deep. You know, when that guy jumped off of that platform, what did it say, 193 feet or something above the water, when he hit the water, it wasn't like 2 or 3 or even 4 or 5 or 6 feet of water, was it? There was a depth, because you know he was going to go down. The high dive at the pool we had, I know that was at least 12 feet, I think it was 12 feet deep, because you have to have space to go down. When you're climbing high and you're going deep. Let's talk about going deep for a minute. There's all kinds of reasons going deep. Sometimes intentional, sometimes not intentional. When we go deep, we get in over heads, don't we? Water tends to kind of surround us and sometimes even swallow us in a little bit. There's a really good Bible story talking about that. And you've maybe heard of this guy, Jonah. I think most everybody, even non-church people know the story of Jonah, at least peripherally. Jonah, it's right there in the Bible. And Jonah's kind of an interesting character because God says, Jonah, I want you to go here. I think it was about 500 miles. And Jonah says, I don't think so. I think I'll go this way 2,000 miles. Interesting. So he goes out and gets on a ship. Well, you know, God has ways of redirecting us. In this case, he got on the ship in the opposite direction, and the ship encountered a huge storm. Well, ships and huge storms sometimes don't go together. And this huge storm, there were other men, other sailors in the boat. They didn't even believe in our God. They all had different gods. But it was interesting how they were a little more faithful to our God even than Jonah was. Because they were praying to our God. They were cautious. Because Jonah said this, Jonah 1:2, this is what we hear. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, Jonah said. And it will become calm. I know that it is my fault, yes it was, that this great storm has come upon you. So he causes the storm not just for him, but for all these other sailors as well.
Yeah, they were experiencing the effect of Jonah's disobedience. And they did their best to manage, and they threw like stuff overboard. They didn't want to throw Jonah overboard, but they did. And then we get the story where the huge fish comes and swallows Jonah up, and he spends how many days in the belly of the fish? 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of that fish.
And here's the story inside that belly. And this is a glorious story of God and God's relationship with us. Listen, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. Now notice, if he got on that, he's in there because God said go this way and he went this way. And now he's calling on the Lord. He says, he prayed to his God. And he said, in my distress, I called to you, to the Lord, and he answered me. I called him, and he answered me.
He answered.
That's very important. He answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. And you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet. That yet's like, but. It's like, this, but we're going to flip a new direction here. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Say, holy temple. Holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. I love this line. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. Picture that. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. Isn't this just a horrible feeling, a sinking feeling, a dread, a feeling that you're headed in a direction you don't want to be headed, right? And then the important word, we see this so often in Scripture, but. I was going this way, but you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Say, salvation comes from the Lord.
Salvation comes from
the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on the dry land. Isn't that a great story?
Diving deep. For Jonah, diving deep was the realization that he had been disobedient, and he called out to the Lord, knowing that his God could save him, and his God did. He was saved. The Lord brought Jonah's life out from the depth and heard Jonah's prayer.
Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been there. Engulfing waters threatening you. Deep surrounding you. Seaweed wrapped around your head. Maybe it was literal, but maybe not. Maybe not literally, but you were drowning just the same, some way, somehow, in whatever mess, whatever situation you found yourself in. And when that happened, what did you do? Did you try to take care of yourself? Did you try to swim against the current? Did you rely on you for answers? Or did you do what Jonah did and turn to God, swim to God, pray to God? And when your life was ebbing away, in the words of Jonah, did you remember the Lord? Offer prayers that rose to God in God's holy temple. In other words, when you went deep, did you depend on you or on the one who created you? You know, we can learn a lot from this story of Jonah. But a couple of really important things is obedience to God is best. And God is our rescue. Amen? Amen.
So that's one kind of diving deep. I want to talk about another kind of diving deep. It's an expression when we want to learn more, we want to grow. And biblically, as Christians, it's learning who we are and whose we are. It's learning how to be in relationship, in Christ-centered relationship with one another. It's learning about what God says in God's word and how to live that out in a world that doesn't necessarily believe this stuff anymore. But this is when we dive deep, we open up the pages, we take a look at something, we read it, we think about it, we pray about it, we ruminate, you know, kind of chew it up and think, and this is truth. We read about different characters. We can learn from different characters in Scripture. Now, how does their life parallel our lives? Yeah, they might have lived 2,000 years ago, but they're still parallel. You know, Peter, I can identify with Peter. You know, oh, yes, Lord. Oh, wait a minute. You know, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Miss Edna. Yeah. Deborah in the Old Testament, you know, come on to Barak, who was supposed to lead the army, and Barak, you know, wimped out, and then there's okay, let's go. You know, that's hard. It's like, okay, God, we can learn from all this. But that's what it means to go deep, that you open it up, that you read it, that you get into a small group, or you come to a Bible study, or you listen to a sermon online, or do your devotion. That's going deep. There are so many different scriptures that I think, wow, that's hard, or I don't understand it. And God, we don't know the mind of God, but God can teach us through the Holy Spirit. I mean, how about this scripture, Colossians 1? I'm just going to throw a couple. It's not random scriptures, but different scriptures. The Son is the image of the invisible God. Okay, what's that? The firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. This is deep stuff when you do more than just read it on the surface. And it's important to take it in. How about this one? Revelation. He will wipe every tear away from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Really? Wow. Okay, I need to like land here for a while. For the old order of things has passed away. What a promise. What does that mean when I'm going through really hard stuff? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Huh. What does that mean? Well, he tells us, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. So now he's not talking about physical bread, is he? It's spiritual. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Oh, okay. I was in a conversation every Wednesday from 8 to 9 in the morning. I meet with some some friends all over the East Coast, and I was with one girl named Jessica. She lives in, her ministry is in Harlem, New York. And so we were talking about Psalm 121. And we ended up spending the next hour plus talking about the eight verses of Psalm 121. I mean, and we had to say, okay, time out. We all got it. We have to go to work. It's time. But then we landed on this verse in 121 that says we're kept by God. I'm like, what does it mean to be kept by God? Well, in my Jude study on Friday mornings, it's all about being kept by God. I'm like, wow, the Bible in Psalms is talking about being kept. Jude at the end of the Bible is kept. It's like consistent cover to cover. This is what I mean by saying we need to dive deep. We need to get to know the Lord. And we get to do it together. So let's dive deep, church, in the study, in the devotion, in our praise of God.
Diving deep can mean a lot of different things, as we've just shown. But in all its different meanings, diving deep gives us the opportunity to get closer to God. It allows us to more fully understand our relationship with Him, to more fully grasp what God what God's love looks like, and what it means for us as we try to get ever closer to Him. Diving deep.
The first diving deep, you know, we go up on the mountain and it's kind of scary and it's kind of fun and it's like our heart's pounding, or the other kind of diving deep when we find ourselves almost drowning. God's with us in both of those places and brings us to kind of level ground. You know, doesn't want us to stay on that mountaintop, wants us to be among each other, doesn't want us to stay in the depth, but pulls us out. That's who our God is, our God of rescue.
And so we turn to God when we're in trouble, when we have needs, when we're feeling swallowed up by the deep. We turn to God, and He is ready to pull us to the surface. He is ready to rescue us. He is ready, in a word, to save us. To save us. For God so loved you, so loved me, that He gave His one and only begotten Son. You can finish it.
Jesus dove deep for us. Think about it. I mean, like, really deep. When He died, He took our sins to hell. I mean, is there any deeper deep than that? For us, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be free. We're going to sing at the end of this service, "Break Every Chain," so our chains could be broken. He went so deep for us so that we don't get stuck in that place. And we can do life knowing that He goes before us, behind us, and all around us. He resurrected, and then conquered death itself, and then rose to be with His Father in heaven for you, for me.
Because of that deep dive Jesus took for us, we can believe all His promises. You know, by some estimates, there are like 3,500 promises in the Bible. That's a lot of promises. 3,500 promises. He promises salvation to all who believe in Him. He promises peace beyond all understanding. He promises to supply all of our needs. He promises to carry our burdens, to share in our struggles, to be there with us, not to take those things away, but to walk through those challenges with us. He promises that He will return and take us to where He prepares a place for us.
So today we're talking about climbing high, diving deep, wherever we find ourselves, wherever that is. We want to remember one of my favorite promises. There's so many in here, but this is what I want to share today, and I want us to all share this together, because it's something that we can say yes, yes, yes to. Romans 8, verses 37 through 39. Will you say it with me? In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, not any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the truth. Let's live it and let's believe it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for your word found in Scripture. It is so precious to us. You teach us from cover to cover about who we are. This is your love story to us. Help us dive deep into your word. Help us dive deep into devotion, dive deep into prayer, dive deep into relationship, dive deep into serving, dive deep into giving. And Lord, when we are in the deep and we feel like we're drowning, thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the deep dive you took for us so that our chains could be broken. We praise you. We love you. We honor you. We bless your name. In the name of the Father and the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray this. Everybody agreed and said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.